Did you know there is an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code CANNON, C-A-N-N-O-N. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's mind magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. I've talked about my trouble at dispensaries. I have a very hard time communicating with those guys. I got the gummies, and I also got the Sleepy Time THC tincture. I use it mostly at bedtime. And being honest, it's some of the best sleep I've ever gotten. It's amazing. But best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code CANNON, C-A-N-N-O-N. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code CANNON, C-A-N-N-O-N, when you check out to save 20% on your first order. I made you
think it was real. My name is Caden Sinclair. Some people call us American royalty.
We Were Liars, a new series on Prime Video.
We were happy. We wanted for nothing.
Based on the best-selling novel.
Something terrible happened last summer, and I have no memory of what or who hurt me. No one in my family will tell me. When you're left for dead, you want answers.
We Were Liars. New series, watch now, only on Prime Video.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast,
you see a figure emerge. Coming out of its body are dozens of black tentacles.
Welcome back. Is Edward with you, or will he be arriving soon?
Riddleston is dead.
Oh,
what is your name?
I was once Ilkhani, but I have become so much more now. It is time, begin stretching, to open you to the Black Frost Whale. We will join him as the vanguard for the new world to come.
Then I suppose we shall see. Who will eat who?
Oh!
Let's roll for initiative.
Oh, no!
Tentacles go wide.
Black spores come out of his mouth. Steps up to Gish.
Oh, shit. Come here, you sick fuck.
Black is coming.
Oh, no.
No, 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 no.
An anti-you abomination.
Holy light.
23 points. It's blazing.
And the creature falls.
Yes!
The tentacles start to shrivel off of its body, and the creature is perhaps Ilkhani once more, but he is dying.
The adventure continues. Now.
Is episode 91 of the Glass Cannon Podcast, and unless something crazy happens between the time of this recording and the time of this episode airing, this will be the last and final episode that Sydney records as a single woman.
Whoa! Wait.
I didn't even realize.
Yes, this is your last airing episode as a single lady.
Your Oh my gosh. Episode.
Yes.
Last chance, fellas. Bring in the strippers.
Come on in, Francis.
Somebody order a pizza cop.
Excuse me, it's me, pizza cop.
It's me, pizza cop. Sausage.
That's so fun. I should make an announcement to like future me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do it. Give yourself a little bit of advice here.
Oh, God.
On this.
Sid, you're going to be seeing this as a married lady, cuffed, ball and chain. But don't forget where you came from, you know? Don't forget who you are outside of your marriage.
You're more than just your marriage.
Thank you. You're actually,
we're already talking about outside
that?
Your marriage.
How about.
You want to take it back?
How about, how are you? You all give me advice.
I know you're miserable with this awful man that you've married, but just dig deep down and find the joy in life still.
Some of you are married and in long-term relationships. Why don't you guys give me advice?
Advice?
Or what you get.
Never go to bed angry.
That's what everybody says. What the hell?
So never go to bed.
Come on, pizza cop!
Never go to bed.
Yeah.
No, I don't. It's funny. It's like not much is going to change in this modern time.
So you think?
We already live together. We share expenses.
You'll be in an apron cleaning in no time.
Well,
you know what? I bet you. Wow. You watching this is pregnant.
Yep. Whoa. Oh, probably.
Wow.
That's your bet. Yeah,
and that'll
that's
happen
your bet?
In Vegas.
If you're my husband will not be.
Yeah, fans had to pay extra.
Mystery.
To baby you up.
Wow. Okay, so not a mystery.
You know what? That is some advice. I'm not sure where you land on that whole thing, and I'm not even asking. But if kids are in the picture, I say
it's very rude.
Hey, so you guys plan on having kids anytime soon? You're not supposed to ask that.
I just said I'm not
asking
that.
Basically, just ask.
I'm just saying if that's in the realm of possibility, I'd say just get after it because you've been together for a long time. You've had a great time together.
Not getting any younger.
Exactly, and like as I have my kids and at my age where they are, I just am so jealous of people who were younger than me when they had their kids. Like, so jealous.
Huh.
Because it's just, if they're a little bit older and you're a little bit younger than I am, it's just such a great spot to be in, you know?
It's good you're saying this now. I have to mentally prepare for that because when we got engaged, immediately, when's the wedding? And then as soon as the wedding's over, as a woman,
how's your uterus?
How's the egg count?
When are you going to give us some grandchildren?
Yeah. So I have to mentally prepare. I think that is the most helpful advice. Mentally prepare.
Yeah. You're going to be looked at differently, spoken to differently.
You're going to be looked at like a womb.
Yes, you're just a womb with legs.
Now, but now I can own property since my husband's name will be on it.
Right. You can get a credit card.
I can get credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about time.
I'm making my way in the
about
world.
About time you ruin somebody else's credit.
Don't come for my score. My score is incredible.
I think your score is probably pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay, round the horn. Let's do some score. So what else? Are you excited? Are you excited? This is your last ep as a single woman.
Yeah. Also,
next ep, you have to pretend you're married when we record.
Yeah, I will. I didn't even bring my ring.
Oh, shit.
I don't even wear my engagement ring. I'm excited, and I'm excited for our Vegas retreat. This will be post-Vegas as well.
Yeah, we just got back from Vegas. Yeah. Hopefully
we all made it.
Vegas can be a lot.
Yeah, it will be a lot, but I'm really excited for both. It's cool. It's funny that we're going to Vegas the weekend before my wedding. Like, you couldn't have planned it better. But it's nice that it's like a fun thing. I actually don't have to worry about doing bachelorette stuff. It's like I'm there for a reason.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for the wedding. It's going to be fun. My biggest thing? It's a party, and I'm hosting a good party. Yeah, that's how I look at it.
I fucking hate weddings, but I'm looking forward to yours.
Thanks, buddy.
I was hoping your biggest thing was like, I don't even care if you come.
You don't have to.
Okay.
You don't have to. I mean, send a gift, and you don't have to.
I'm so psyched.
But no,
it's
a party. It's going to be a really fun time.
I'm not going to dance.
You don't have to.
Okay. You dancing?
No.
There's karaoke. There's karaoke later. Karaoke later.
I only karaoke around friends.
Jeepers.
So don't karaoke around strangers anymore. I gave that up.
So
I won enough
there,
contest back in the
You'll
day.
Be there. You'll be there. And you only care.
I'm not dancing and I'm not singing. I'm not the entertainment.
Kate will do it for all of us.
What is? How does the karaoke work?
Kate, do you dance? I can't imagine.
What's the vibe?
Oh, yeah.
Nope. You dance?
Yes.
I cannot imagine. I think you're sulking in the corner with a trench coat.
Certain music is playing. I'm on that dance floor.
Okay.
There will be music and dancing during the reception. And then the after party skid, we go to a bar where they have proper karaoke set up. It'll be at a bar amongst your friends.
Super fun.
I have to get up at 6 a.m. the next day. So,
you know what? Are you serious?
So don't sleep.
Because I actually do.
Yeah.
Maybe even earlier.
I got to go to Archer's Hockey and then I got to coach a baseball team.
So don't sleep.
Let me ask you this. Are we doing open bar or cash bar?
It's open for it's open at the wedding, and then it's open for a time at the after party.
Okay, good.
15 minutes.
That's going to get dangerous.
It's a 15-minute
open bar. Can I get 7 eggnogs?
They tell us.
On June
12th.
I get 7 eggnogs.
Can I get 7 eggnogs? You got eggnog mix still? I don't know if this is a blue book thing, like a Jersey, or a blue law thing, like in Jersey, but when we booked the bar for later, we said we're doing a wedding, then we're going to come here later. The wedding ends at like 8 p.m. It's not crazy late. That's why we're doing the bar after. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, you're coming from another event. That means legally we can't do an open bar for longer than 2 hours because it's a liability.
Yeah,
and I was like, are people in Jersey like really fucked up? Like in what world is that like a weird thing?
Those laws are so arcane and fascinating to me.
Is that common though? I've
Pilgrims created these laws. And
well, it just makes sense. You're trying to
mitigate problems.
Yeah, you're in a heavy populated region of the world where a lot of times people abuse alcohol and then they do stupid shit.
Totally. And I get that it's open, so it's like it's hard to not overserve people. You know, like who's who and whatever. It's busy, so I understand. But I was surprised. I was like, oh. Oh,
I know, like Massachusetts. I don't know I think it's still like
that. It's changed. You used to be able to not get it on booze
after
on
11.
Sunday. Yeah.
After 11, like you can't buy booze anywhere.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, like you couldn't buy it at all. And I know, like in college, like we'd have like a show and like want to go get like at beers for an after party, whatever. It's like, hurry! That's 10:45. Like we got to run to the packy, like whatever. And then my uncle owned a liquor store and he was just like, he didn't want them to change the blue laws because it's just like everyone's closed on Sunday. So it's just like, I have no reason to go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
nice.
It's like it's.
So my senior year at Boston College, we had a Super Bowl party in my dorm. And for many reasons, a bunch of us knuckleheads forgot to get booze. And so it's the day of the Super Bowl. And I was like, okay, if someone drives to my hometown, I'm not going. we live close enough to New Hampshire. If you're within a certain radius, you can buy on Sunday after a certain time. So a couple guys got in, the one guy who had a car on campus, drove an hour, got a ton of beer, drove back, and we had beer and liquor for Super Bowl party.
Yeah. Had to drive over state lines.
Yeah, so.
Doesn't New Hampshire have the most lax liquor laws? Like it's super cheap and it's
live for a dime, man.
Yeah, well,
yeah. You get off on the highway, it's like Liquor Depot. And it's everything.
But then you go up to Maine and it's like all of the liquor stores are owned by the state.
Yeah.
So it's like
same thing in Pennsylvania.
And so it's like it's so bizarre. Anyone coming from outside the country, I pity them if they're trying to figure out like
Pennsylvania is really freaking out.
People didn't really understand that, didn't grow up in Pennsylvania. Like to me, I thought it was so weird to see beer in a supermarket or in like a deli. Like because it was just, and you couldn't even get beer with liquor. It was
you can't sell it at the same place,
which was liquor and wine. And then there were beer distributors.
Right.
And basically,
you could only buy cases.
Yeah. Right? You didn't have six packs. So
like, or you could like buy a 12 pack from a bar.
From a bar. From like an active bar. People sitting there during happy hour.
Yeah.
You'd be like, can I get a six pack? And then walk out of the bar, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre. So much of that has been changed by money, big companies coming in and saying, you know, we want to move this legislation around so that we can sell six packs and stuff in Walmart and whatever. And they get these little concessions. And so now there's more of it than there used to be. But
I know like Colorado, you could get beer in a supermarket, but only 3.2 beer. So 3.2% alcohol or less.
Near beer.
Yeah.
Make sure you eat your dinner because most people don't eat.
Oh, I will.
A couple don't eat and then they forget and you end up.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Wedding stuff is like eat and drink water.
Yes.
Like
water, especially because it's an outdoor wedding in the summer. Going to be hydrated. But I'm going to eat. We're going to have.
Is there a tree anywhere I can stand?
Yes.
Air conditioning anywhere. Is there like an outhouse?
It's fans.
But
the food is going to be great. I'm excited for
you. Invited fans?
It's paella and lechon, a big roast pig. So it's going to be really yummy.
Matthew will enjoy that.
And salad.
And salad. Yeah, a little leaf. Joe doesn't like something.
A seafood.
Just say paella and salad.
Seafood paella.
Make sure to load up on paella and salad.
Now no longer excited.
And a roast pig.
Was excited. Now not
seafood
excited.
Paella, veggie paella, pig, salad.
Oh, pig.
What's a veggie paella?
It's me, pig.
Just vegetables.
As soon as she said paella, I just got like tinnitus for like 10 seconds. Like,
charcuterie.
All I could eat is fucking seafood.
Charcuterie appetizer.
Some charcuterie. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Some lumpia.
Love a good charcuterie.
Leave it right on the
ice sculptures.
No.
No, it'll melt.
Fountain, chocolate Summer. Fountain, no. Cheese fountain.
No, we're keeping it chill.
Trapeze artists.
Again, fun party.
Think, is the after party have air conditioning?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'll be at that.
Okay. See,
that's so funny. Like, some people skip the ceremony just show up at the reception. Troy skips the reception, shows up at the after party.
Yeah. Hey, guys, where you been?
I've been waiting.
Not even wearing a suit.
Shirts off.
Make sure you stick around for the after party after today's episode. I'll be there for that.
Hold on.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites? Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps to the top of search results, reaching the candidates you need. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. Speed up your hiring today with a £100 sponsored job credit at indeed.com/SPANUK. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics are saying a stunning, breathtaking triumph of savings. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compasso Market in cinemas all year.
That sounds like a great movie.
Sergey, it's no movie. It's 2-for-1 offer on cinema tickets.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compasso Market. Simples.
When you take out a qualifying product to compare the market. One membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
Folks, we're back. I want to thank our sponsors, Norse Foundry. They were treating some of us well last week.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much my enemy. And of course, Foundry Virtual Tabletop. How cool was it last week when you went up the stairs and got warped to the other map?
I haven't seen that effect before. I've now run quite a few games on Foundry. I did not know you could do that.
It was cool to, like, rather than have you move us, like, move ourselves.
Yeah, to come. Yeah. The next level, next floor.
And immersive, because I went first and, like, I was just in the room. I just saw everything and nobody, and you didn't have to do anything.
So you could see it. I didn't have to activate the map. It just pushed it up.
It just put me there.
So cool.
And it was, like, dim and weird and creepy.
I'm telling you, we're just scraping the surface on the cool things you can do with Foundry. So go buy it.
And also, I mean, let me just say, to shout out Norse Foundry for a second, it is so remarkable how much your enjoyment of this game depends on the dice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you are in a slump, it is miserable. It can be really miserable. Mm-hmm. Look, a failed roll at a big moment, that can be great. It can be an opportunity, right? But, like, failure, especially, like, on, like, kind of insignificant rolls over and over, it's just like, God. And then last week, to just rock multiple crits, to just have high rolls left and right. It was just so fun.
Yeah,
so much
great.
Fun.
A real hot streak.
Yeah, bounces back. It just feels great.
Can I say, I think the failure, the fact that there's the, you know, failure just normally means miss. What's the word I'm trying to use here? It, like, I'm kind of tired of it. Do you know what I mean? Like in other games, you fail forward. In Pathfinder, You normally don't. You can come up with ways to sort of narrate fail forward, but it's pretty much
mechanically, it's not really supported or encouraged.
Yeah, it's like your turn ends kind of.
In 2E, having different degrees of failure certainly lends itself to a little more interesting stuff that happens.
I mean, that's certainly true. Yeah. I will say, one thing I love about that mechanic is I will seriously feel like a failure roll is a success in some situations.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not a critical failure.
Right.
When you're so scared of a critical failure and you just get a failure, you're like, all right, I can take this.
Yeah. It is
I can
nice.
Take regular damage. You
yeah,
know,
that like, they took away that kind of just a little bit of the pain of the save or suck stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where it's just like, this is a coin flip. It's either nothing's going to happen or everything I want to happen is going to happen.
Right.
And just instead have degrees. Like, I like that.
Yeah, it is tricky. I think talking about the mechanics of the game in general, the vibe that it gives you, like, just talking about combat and missing, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's spell attacks or melee attacks, right? Where you're not rolling a saving throw, we're rolling an attack. A miss generally does not come with any additional effects that move the story forward in interesting ways. Yes, you could narrate stuff, but I think the real problem with it is, like, I think it represents the fight very well. Like, you can't hit every attack.
Yeah.
It's got to be, and, you know, even in a great fight in a movie, there's, like, misses constantly, yeah. you know what I mean? And then good hits make a difference, whatever. But the problem with the mechanics of a game like this is, a lot of times, especially when you're making a show out of it, everything is sort of exaggerated. Your miss is like all you do yes. for 25 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you're waiting 20 minutes.
You're just sitting there feeling again. Like a failure. Or
like, oh, you know, I can't wait for my turn.
The problem isn't missing. The problem is that, like, you don't get another chance again for so long.
That's the thing.
Yeah. You know, it's like,
yeah, I got failure burnout. And on my side of the table, if you're fighting a creature that had, like, that thing had 195 hit points, right? And you guys really went after it and got at it. But we've had a lot of combats, both in this show and Ascension and other shows, where you're six rounds in and you just can't whittle it down. And so I'm forced to do one of two things. Keep grinding until you get it close, or it gets to a point where you finally start hitting and it still has 30, 40 hit points left, but I don't want to do this any longer. So yeah. I'm like, you got it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, yeah. well, that you really didn't. You know what I mean? I'm giving really it to you because I don't want to do this encounter anymore.
yeah.
So yeah, a little bit of burnout from that. But that, I love when we do have a combat like that where it felt balanced, dangerous, and you guys did the damage to overcome yeah. it quickly before it really started.
You got some good hits in, some good abilities, but also some huge failures that really helped us. So
yeah.
Balanced out pretty well.
Balanced out pretty well. However, you were tasked in a way by these crumbling bodies downstairs to save to do what little you can after all the horrible stuff that you perhaps did out of your own control, to at least save one of them. You have effectively killed this character, but I'm giving him the dying condition. And so as the tentacles fall off and the tendrils kind of, he vomits them out of his mouth, you have a chance to do something here.
We should help him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ramius will just jump, you know, right on it.
You have an action left because you landed the killing blow. I moved him the initiative order. Okay. You are, I guess, 10 feet away.
My problem is I'm too far away in the action economy.
I can take out a healing potion and give it to him on my turn.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to it's not flavor. It's pure mechanics. Like, he's going to use his final action to move up to him, recognizing there's that moment, right? I'm trying to think of a good, what's in my mind, Skid? There's a movie or something where like the possession leaves in the moment before, like, the person dies and you kind of see
them again,
them who they really were right before they pat. What am I thinking of? I can picture it in my mind.
Happens in werewolf movies, vampire movies.
You know, maybe I'm thinking of, like, Mystique. Maybe there was a Mystique situation where, like, she was in a different form and then she gets, like, hurt, and right before she goes out, you see who she really is.
X-Men.
Yeah. United or something like that. Something. Anyway, he's going to move toward, the elf and attempt to, do battle medicine, but he's out of action. So he just moves up to it in that moment.
Okay. And now it is Zephyr's turn.
Yeah. So I feel like I see you getting ready to do it, but he's going to, like, fall in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just quickly
pale scars where those tentacles were already starting to form.
Like, as you're getting ready with your hands, I'm like reaching into my bag, taking out a potion, force feeding him the potion.
He loses the dying condition and starts to, like, come to, and he looks at you, and maybe there's still a remnant there of that fatal attraction that he felt.
Oh, right. Right. I forgot about
it. Yeah. I'm going to have an earth boyfriend.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Or, I mean, Galarian boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. You got a Casterville boyfriend, a Galarian boyfriend.
And he's just like, who are you?
Welcome back.
You don't remember anything? What's the last thing you remember?
Ramius has blood running down his face and his eyes. He's hurt and was not healed much, so he's just looking down at this guy, and he sees this injured human in front of him, an injured elf in front of him, half-elf.
I think he's an elf.
He's a full elf.
Oh, you. Yeah. I'm saying you're a half-elf.
Oh, I'm not injured.
Oh, you got healed up.
Yeah.
Gick wipes her mouth off. Who are you?
She says rudely to the tentacled man.
Sorry. One of your guys went in my mouth.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Leave it in. Leave it in.
All right.
Your guys went in my mouth.
Francis.
You know what? Leave it in.
Clip that and repeat it for a minute. One of your guys went in my mouth.
Can't wait to your see guys, this on my for you page.
You didn't even know you were doing it.
Was I wrong? Was I wrong? One of the guys did go in my mouth. That's true. What the hell?
Oh, wait, no. He's, like, holding his head. It's like, wait, no, yeah, you look familiar. I remember a sound like lightning. My people followed the sound to the gateway. And we watched you walk through. And others, we were there to welcome you, yes, but...
Yes.
You chose...
We Violet, did not.
We captured you, yes, and we enslaved you. But it was all...
Are you here to finish the job?
No. We've just broken you from a spell that we were under ourselves. We were under a deep spell.
It affects your memory. You won't remember. It won't let you.
This black ice... You were not affected by it?
We don't know. We're trying to figure that out now.
What does it do?
I do not know, but I felt it inside of me, like a curse, controlling my thoughts. My thoughts were not my own. My memories are mixed up in the before time and the during.
Is your name Ilkhani?
Yes.
You told us that, so we know your name.
Yes, my family, my tribe, my sister. They've all perished.
Yes, I'm so sorry. So sorry, but the spirits of your friends led us to you. They were restless. They were not carried over properly to their afterlife. And with their final words, they said that we needed to free you from this spell that this evil man put you under. And we have done so. You fought us. You tried to stop us. And that is where my injuries come from.
And he's just sort of like gently sits back, like on his bottom on the ground, just like leans back and rests for a moment, heavily breathing.
But we freed you from it, just as we have been freed. We're no longer under his control. Riddleson, his name is Riddleson.
I'm confused. You came through the gate, you captured us, you brought us here, and now you've returned. And what of this Riddleson? Why are you here again?
We have been following Riddleson's trail, trying to uncover the memories, to understand what he was doing. We didn't even know we came here until we came here again. We had flashbacks and memories just like you're having now. And Riddleson is, well, he's dead because we killed him.
What did he look like?
Scary.
Big bald veins.
Bald head, purple veins.
Yes.
Probably had some thug looking folk with him.
Yes, I remember.
Bodyguards.
He used this ice to kill the inhabitants of this place. And the others, yes, it's kind of coming back to me. Where will you go? What will you do?
Well?
We are headed to the crown of the world. Apparently there is a great beast there that first helped to empower us or...
enslave us.
Helped to make us thralls to this... Riddleson.
What manner of beast?
A Soyo.
Soyo.
The Black Frost Whale.
And he's like... you see him like starting to see...
Yes.
Yes, I
search your memories.
Saw a whale, but not a whale like those that roam in the ocean. Something far more aberrant. Tentacles like these that came from my body. Was this being in me?
Perhaps we are trying to understand how this aberration operates. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around, but it seems that it can produce fractures of itself in other beings or through other beings. And they all contain the same trait. These black tentacles, these writhing forms. It seemed to be, yes, possessing you in some way. You spoke to us. You told us of our mission, that we must go to the crown of the world, that we must be fully awakened.
That was not me. That was this being or something else. I don't. Perhaps in time, the memories will return.
Let me ask you.
Yes?
Do you remember of your life before we came through the gate?
Yes. We are the Ilvarani. We have been in this area for many, many years.
In this temple? Did you live in this temple?
Some of our people lived here, but the rest lived closer to the gate that you presumably walked through again.
Yes.
As of late, we have inhabited this part of the world for a long, long time. And we were a peaceful people. Those gates were not active for a long time, so we were surprised to see them active once more when you stepped through. We did not know if you were from other worlds or other parts of this world. We meant to feast you and praise you. Instead, I am all that is left. I have no home, no people.
This Riddleson enslaved so many of us, ensorcelled us, made us thralls. We don't understand yet why he would have us slay your people, why he wouldn't simply use his rituals to bring you under his control as well.
Or just move on, if he just wanted to go to the crown of the world.
Or just move on.
I mean, I guess he experimented on some of you, but...
Yes, what is... What experiments he performed, we do not know.
There's more to this area here. I remember other rooms. Perhaps those answers lie deeper within, or some... excuse me, am I boring you?
Yes.
You keep yawning.
I just had lunch.
While I'm... At lunch before we battled?
Just before I entered the temple, I had a great deal of cheese.
Why would you do that? In the middle of a battle... Do I have your attention?
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say.
You said we need to explore other rooms
perhaps,
in this place.
Perhaps the answers lie somewhere within here or elsewhere on your journey. For me, I must cleanse this place.
Is there more to this tower?
Yes. I think there are other rooms. You can see there's one there, and I think it wraps around. Everything's coming back piecemeal to me.
We're on, like, the top level, right?
Yeah, you're from the outside, you saw, like, what looked like some sort of bridge that led from this top level out to the high ice. Okay. But you can see, like, around the corner when you step back there and became stupefied, you see there's another, like, little chamber similar to the chambers downstairs. It looks like a snowflake, the way it's shaped up here.
Yeah.
But it also wraps around where all this black ice is.
Do you know anything about the Salmon Carr?
Salmon Carr?
They're a Yeti people?
Yes, they lived closer to the crown of the world long ago, but I believe they are extinct.
Yeah.
Someone did extinction.
Dick is tearing up. Yeah, somebody did extinction. Someone. Do you know of the Arataki people?
Arataki.
They're near Imenwit. I hope I wrote that down right.
I don't.
Imenwit.
What was that?
Imenwit. I second guess my spelling. Imenwit. Imenuit.
Imenuit sounds more familiar.
Imenuit. They come from...
Stop saying it
wrong. If you keep trying.
You have to stop saying it wrong.
Sometimes I try to spell the stuff phonetically and it really comes back to haunt me.
It is hard because, like, we deal with a lot of made-up words and we don't know how they're meant to
be
spelled.
Yeah. No,
we never ask.
I never ask how it's spelled.
So then we read back our own writing and it sounds completely different than what we heard originally.
Sakawachi is the Arataki tribe and they come from Iminuit. I don't know if that's a place. Iminuit?
Yeah, that sounds...
Peter Iminuit?
Is it Peter Iminuit?
Peter Iminuit.
Yes, a Minuit is a...
A Minuit.
A village, I believe, far, far to the south, although probably northern by most people's standards, but certainly not near the crown of the world. Why do you ask?
We knew somebody from the Arataki tribe, and they were also trying to get to the crown of the world near the Sakura Scar, trying to kill a living god.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
I guess we're all kind of in the dark.
Yes.
Or find a living god. I don't think Sakuachi wanted to kill it.
He wanted to kill it.
He wanted to kill it?
Well, yeah. He said he had to...
Sacrifice
a living god.
Because when he first brought it up, Ramius was high and was like, maybe I'm a living god.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to sacrifice. He goes, no, maybe it's me,
a living god.
Strike that. Ramius is going to be treating wounds as we have these conversations.
Oh, thank you. My scars.
Yeah.
Aching.
Who's hurt?
Me.
Gick is hurt, and Buggles and Zephyr are good, right?
I'm
good.
I'm hurt.
You are hurt?
Bad. Yeah.
Bad.
Really? Okay.
9 points.
Really?
Oh. You're down 9?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you're down 9.
Yeah.
All right, so you're full with one...
Oh, thank you.
With one treat wounds.
46, please.
46? Yeah. All right, I'm going to try a higher level, John, here. Fail.
Ow!
It's not working yet. Stay still.
Fail.
You're cutting me.
It's getting to be not worth it. Fail.
Ow.
Unbelievable.
I don't think you should.
Fail.
Ow. Wow. My leg. It's not even my leg. It was my arm.
Is this how your people heal?
Just like 4 in a row.
Let
under
me try.
10.
Some boom. Did I heal her?
My nose.
She feel better.
Sometimes
the wound is just a little. There we go.
You.
There it is. All right. 36 points. And then I'll do one more with
a
assurance.
Lower. Okay.
And you get...
Just need 10.
Just minimum, 12.
Oh, points. I'm good. I just need 10.
Okay.
What are you going to do here?
As I am the most likely the last of my people, I should cleanse this temple to Findalad Lara. This will take some time. By the looks of this damage, and then I don't know. I have no one to return to. No home.
Could he go to Casterville through the gate? Like y'all did?
Gick, we don't exactly turn a dial to decide where the gates take us.
Or when they turn on.
This amulet, I don't know where it would take him.
They went to Casterville. They met other elves.
I don't know if I'm really ready to meet anyone.
Oh.
Perhaps let's start with seeing what else is in this tower.
Oh,
making sure there's nothing else to clear out.
Have you seen a yurt?
A yurt? Yes. Yes, I don't know where. But this man that you described, he...
Middleton.
He used it, yes. I'm sorry. I wish I knew more. Can I accompany you as you look at the rest of this floor?
Of course.
Please, yeah.
We'd appreciate your guidance.
Okay, I do not know if there are other dangers within, so just know that I will be useless should something occur.
Shocking.
Always assume that.
I have like 4 hit points.
You can stick with me. I'll keep you safe. And she winks at him.
Oh, he's going to treat his wounds.
He's into me.
You're giving him really mixed signals.
He's
though.
Into me.
Yeah, because of like a spell. You're freaking him out.
No, it's because I was so powerful and cool.
Oh, right. You punched so hard.
That was my crit.
You punched so hard in the bulge.
I remember that... you grazed my bulge. Yes, it's all coming back to me.
Yeah.
Wow. Gick is thinking that you would just do really well.
That's
you,
how
you
I get everyone to like me.
Pull. Yeah.
Yet my guys went in her mouth.
Yeah, that was weird.
So confused.
It
was weird.
Wiping her tongue, scraping her tongue off.
All right.
I'm uncomfortable. Let's move on. Ramius is going to start He's going to treat wounds on this guy until he's at full hit points.
Thank you. Don't roll.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, but we'll get it done.
All right, let's go, and then
let's go
deal with this later. Let me remove the skull and crossbones off my body.
I'm dead.
But oh goodness, I don't have a normal picture of me. So come.
You're also tilted. You're weirdly tilted.
Oh, sorry.
Let's go into each pointy. And perception.
What a weird pointy room.
Each pointy room.
There's nothing in here of note. It just continues further south. Or to the north, whatever you... Oh, no, the north seems blocked. What do we have here?
How do you not know? You don't remember? Why are you coming with us?
No, I'm just sorry. I'm just here for the ride.
What's in this room?
You look into that first spire, and it just kind of like goes out and ends. But this room,
a window.
It's like a strange, yet again, hexagonal chamber. But several of the walls depict beautiful scenes in what initially looks like stained glass. But as you stare at it, you realize that it's just colored ice with all of images of elves building astonishing structures, breathtaking works of art. It inspires a sensation of peace and relaxation in the room. And he says, yes, these were the meditation spires. The priests of the temple here would come and meditate in this room and seek peace. We need that now. Some of the windows are like broken, but it's still very beautiful.
Okay, can I do a knowledge check on this, see if it's just, you know, meant to be peaceful in a mundane way, or if there is any magical effect that could happen here if you meditate?
Mm-hmm. So check to identify magic?
Yeah.
Arcana?
Arcana works. Or religion, I mean.
Yeah, religion.
Let's do religion. That's 31.
31. Yeah, you do believe that if you each took the time to meditate in these spires, you could be imbued with some sort of blessing from the gods.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
Let's get blessed.
We shall have to.
Let's get blessed.
Take advantage of this. But for now, let's move on and make sure there's nothing else. No other dangers in this tower. And I'll follow him along.
Okay. So you walk around to the next one. And
pointy.
This is only a stupid point again.
Yes. Oh, look, I found another one though.
The dumb room.
Look at this.
I walked into the wall.
There's,
ooh.
Ooh.
Whoa.
It's like the other stained ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you see how your view goes out the window?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
How far above the ground are we?
So if you look at, well, this room, you can really tell how far down you are because just like the other room had a couple of breaks, this one, there's a large chunk of the stained glass window, which has been either blown in or blown out. Probably blown out because you don't see any glass on the floor.
Well, I do on the map.
Oh, you do see it on the map. Okay, well, that's perfect. And what has blown in, there's like huge snow drifts that have come blowing in.
Cool.
And they kind of have collected in such a way that they form a bridge out to the high ice.
Oh, cool.
This is
our path out.
That looks like the path out.
Wow, cool.
And you look down off the bridge and it's like a 400-foot drop.
Oh my God.
And there's no it's not like a real bridge, so there's no handholds or anything. It's just like a makeshift snowdrift bridge.
But it's
get a little queasy.
It's like the snow.
So it's like a 400-foot high snowdrift?
Yeah. Oh, that's like frozen.
I was picturing like an Iceman, Bobby Drake, like ice bridge.
Well, you know, it's more like that. Like the snow has come in such a way that it's created an ice bridge. I don't think the snowdrift is 400 feet high. Oh, okay. It like came and froze. So this like starts as a snowdrift and then turns into an ice bridge.
That's so cool.
Oh, it looks like you're way further north.
Yes.
We don't have to go yet, though. We'll continue helping you.
Yeah, no. Let's
continue looking around.
Got to find that yurt.
What's this over near?
Walk into the next room. And there is like a tunnel that sort of
goes through this unsettling black ice, opens up into this area where an abandoned research camp has been set up.
Whoa.
Yep, ka-ching.
And there is shit everywhere.
Whoa.
Including a yurt.
Oh! We found it.
The yurt inside?
And we'll be back right after this break.
Wow, how do you forget that yurt?
Welcome to the ultimate social deduction game, Blood on the Clock Tower.
The evil team must stalk the streets at night, hunting down members of the good team one by one. Meanwhile, the good team must outmaneuver the evil team using their unique abilities.
I'd like to kick things off by telling you all that I'm possibly the demon.
Our players can mislead and manipulate others with absolute freedom.
I didn't like hearing my name in the same sentence as demon. That was very upsetting for me.
Emily and I will be your storytellers, guiding you through every labyrinthian twist and turn.
How are there so many evil players in this game? What's happening?
With guests from No Rolls Barred, the Pandemonium Institute, and Ox Venture, you won't be able to stop listening. Go to realmspod.com/clocktower to find out more. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. You'll be immersed into unforgettable campaigns and heart-pounding one-shots. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Douglas Adams, the genius behind The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, was more than a comic author. He was a disruptive thinker, a satirist, an explorer of the absurd, and a futurist par excellence. My name is Arvind Ethan David. I was lucky to know and work with Douglas Adams. My new audiobook, Douglas Adams: The Ends of the Earth, is an immersive journey through the mind of one of the most visionary thinkers of our time. You'll hear never-before-heard recordings from his personal archive, new readings of his work, and interviews with those who knew and loved him best. From Stephen Fry to David Baddiel and Griff Rhys-Jones, to leading economists, planetary scientists, and even zoologists. Get Douglas Adams' The Ends of the Earth now at pushkin.fm/audiobooks or wherever audiobooks are sold. And don't forget your towel.
We're back. You found the yurt. Must have been 10 episodes ago. Did I leave the yurt here?
It's right here. You left it here.
You left it at the top of the largest landmark.
Where could it
all
be?
Of your other shit.
It would be like buried in the snow outside. It's like, it's right here with all the stuff that you also left.
Yeah, there is a ton of information here. It's kind of reminiscent of that part in his basement, like just stacks of journals and paper. As you start to look at them, the one good thing is that it seems like most of it is in common, but still stuff that would take hours and hours to dig through to try and figure out what he was up to. But you also have a yurt, which is radiating magical energy.
Magical yurt.
Careful. It is radiating some sort of magic. I don't know if it has ill will.
I'll do a detect or identify magic.
Okay.
And this one, Arcana?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Or can I do religion?
No, Arcana.
Arcana. 24?
24? What do you got there, Skid?
24 as well.
Oh.
And I got...
I'm aiding him.
We'll make it a 48.
25.
Oh, we'll 25.
Make it a 48.
Okay, what did you get?
25.
25, okay.
Close. I'm aiding her.
Okay, good. It was DC 27, so.
Perfect.
It is an item known as an explorer's yurt.
Oh, the yurt itself is an item.
Yes, the yurt itself is an item. This is the remastered version. Before activation, this item appears to be nothing more than a simple rolled-up tent.
Barely large enough to fit four medium creatures. Despite attempts to clean it, the tent is perpetually smudged with dirt in various places. Activate. Takes 10 minutes to unroll it. It's a manipulate action. Once per day, the effect, the rolled-up tent expands into a spacious yurt, complete with a fire pit, 10 bedrolls, various cooking utensils, and basic food and water.
This is awesome.
Hell yeah.
The yurt can house and feed you and up to 9 other medium creatures eat roughly as much as a human does. They do not need to attempt a survival check to subsist when you use the yurt.
Let's get in the yurt!
Fires and light inside the yurt do not extend illumination into the area surrounding the yurt, making it harder to spot from
a distance. Oh my god. Well, we're taking this with us.
So yes. Does this...
So I misspoke. It looks like a tent. Magical.
It's sort of like Baba Yaga's hut. It's like a similar kind of thing. But does it create an extra dimensional space that's bigger inside than it appears to be outside, or does it just turn into a big
Yeah, I wonder. My feeling is that it just looks like a shitty old tent, and then you step inside and it's like palatial.
Yeah. It's like 10 bedrolls.
It's a cozy cabin.
But it looks like it would only fit 4.
Yeah. So great. I was wondering how we're going to get
your TARDIS
to the top of the world.
It's kind of like you had something like this in Giant Slayer. I think at every adventure at a certain point
you always get an item like this.
What was the thing? The stake?
Stake.
Oh, yeah.
Spike. We had it in
We were talking about the stake last night.
Strange Aeons, too. We had
My cozy cabin,
which you turned into a sex dungeon.
Well, you guys did that.
Well,
You guys did that?
I didn't do that.
We put a sex swing in the middle immediately.
And yes. I'm the smut one.
That doesn't sound like us.
No. You did. You set it up. We were like, wow, this place is great or something.
Andy, roll the tape.
Yeah, and Matthew was like, yeah, I've been here before or something like that. And we were like, scandal.
We started to lean into it, yeah.
So you want to take some time here.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's open up the yurt.
Clearly, yeah, you can. You don't have to open up
the yurt. No, we're going to break down the yurt.
You have it.
And we'll put it in our pouch of... Johnski.
Remember, you only need to use it once a day. So if you do decide to set out today at a certain point, you'll want to use the yurt at the end of the day.
That's true. That's
right now, it's cold. Obviously, it's been cold. It's getting colder. But inside here, it wasn't as bitter cold from the walls.
I'll light the little fire pit near the research area. I'll light the fire pit up.
Okay.
I see on the map, there's a little fire.
I want to go through the research area to see if there was anything left behind. Any notes, any log books, anything like that?
Okay. There's a lot. There's a lot.
Okay.
So
I think we all start doing that.
Yeah, I think you should all start doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you all take 2 hours.
Okay.
Everybody roll a
D4. Whoa.
Okay.
Wasn't expecting you to say roll a D4.
You so rarely get that instruction from a GM.
Please roll a D1.
Oh, God damn it.
I got a 2.
Yeah.
I got a 4.
One crew
over here.
2, 4, and 1.
1, 1, 2, 4.
Okay. 1, 1, 2, followed by a 4. Okay. Who rolled the ones? All right. So you two, you start seeing notes about Black Frost. Your eyes.
What the fuck
is going on with this Black Frost?
Yeah.
Clearly, he wasn't as careful about hiding these notes with multiple languages like he was the ones found in his lab. Almost everything is in common, like 95% of it. So it starts to make a lot more sense. These seem very similar to the notes on Black Frost that you read in his lab, but this goes into a little more detail about how he was researching a method to make Black Frost more transmissible so it could spread more swiftly beyond the high ice. It seems like this compulsion to want to expand or enhance Black Frost in this way was perhaps inflicted upon him by Asoyo, because there's like little things that he writes to himself, like thanking the Black Frost Whale for this inspiration. So he'll be like doing scientific notes and be like, thank you again, Black Frost Whale. Thank you again, Asoyo, for teaching me this. So it seems like Asoyo was implanting these.
It was like manipulating him to spread this effect that it wants to have over a larger area.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
But anything about the Black Frost?
Yeah, like what it does.
What the fuck is it?
Where does it come from? What does it do? Right? These are the two main things.
Yeah.
Obviously, we think it comes from Osoyo, but does it...
It helps him in some way, yeah. Like amplifies his power, maybe?
Does it come from some extra-dimensional, not dimensional, but extra-planar space where Osoyo comes from or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Where this aberration comes from?
And what color is it?
Most importantly.
What color and temperature is it?
Is it hot?
Red hot frost.
You...
Osoyo, the hot frost whale.
Things would have been a lot different.
Let's say you. I want to give you some more information about what they discovered. But if you spend another couple hours, like, all right, let's focus on Black Frost. The two of you, find notes describing the physical effects of Black Frost. Edward boasting his immunity to Black Frost, sort of intimating that all Gatewalkers are immune to Black Frost. And mentioning how he wants to use this curse to create Black Frost zombies.
What is that, like we saw downstairs?
Oh. Because they had black skin, like frosted skin.
Yeah, maybe he was using it and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so he discarded them.
This guy is so evil.
But he thinks that, like, Osoyo's dreams may be the source of this ash-like substance. The fact that Black Frost seems to progress more quickly when an inflicted creature dreams seems to have further intrigued him, but he's not sure what to make of this observation. So something about, like, Osoyo's dreams somehow create this ash-like substance. It transmits more readily when people are asleep. So you think, like, okay, that's what he was doing. He was like putting people to sleep, experimenting on them, trying to get them to dream so that he could use this curse to turn them into zombies. Was he making an army for Osoyo of Black Frost zombies? It's unclear. But the pieces are starting to add up a little bit more. What it is some otherworldly curse.
Got it.
That can affect your dreams into the waking world.
Yeah.
That's what you've got so far.
So it can infect you through dreams and then have a physical effect on your body in real life and turn you into a zombie.
Subject to that effect, yeah. So
What
he wanted zombies for, it's always good to have an army of zombies.
I wish I could murder him again.
Yeah, I almost feel bad that he's already dead because I do feel the same. I want to kill him all over again.
Yeah, we should be able to dig him up.
Turn him into a zombie, then kill him that way.
Right, and then keep bringing him to, like, all the people he fucked over and let them kill him. Then bring him back, walk him to the next area of people that he screwed over and let them kill him.
Yeah, like, obviously, his mind has been poisoned, just as yours, in a way, was by this experience. But it seems like his potential for evil predates the missing moment,
right. Yes.
Seeing what he did with his family. Yeah. So it just sort of unlocked it even further. You see sort of these notes in chronological order where Edward seems to be getting increasingly frustrated that he wasn't granted the greater powers that you were granted. The Gatewalkers were granted. So there's a little bit of jealousy there.
Envy.
He feels like he wasn't chosen by Osoyo for the glorious duty of tracking and capturing the last Salmon Carr. You were chosen. He feels like that's a job that should have belonged to him. So he feels doubly jealous that Osoyo bestowed that.
We were favored by the Black Frost Whale in a way that he wasn't.
That sounds like it.
And when we say we, we're talking about Lucky, Talitha, Gick, Buggles, Ramius.
In your vision, you saw several people.
Platoon that he chose, and Riddleston wasn't part of it.
He mentions Ina Moron, the name of the last Salmon Carr. This is a name that you heard
from Sakawachi's
grandmother. Seshu had, like, spoken to Ina Moron. And yeah, you had taken Ina Moron, transported him to the Nameless Spires. And the notes go on to detail all of your deviant abilities and, you know, talks about, you know, how they can be further unlocked or his hypotheses on how they could develop over time. It makes it apparent that these abilities were granted to you by
Asoyo. You were given these powers by Asoyo, but hinting that, like, you know, more powers could, even greater powers could manifest over time, and some of you have started to unlock those greater powers. The notes also indicate that you returned here very suddenly without the sled that you left with. And so it seems like Riddleson stayed here. You went and did your thing, and then you came back. And so he's trying
sledless.
He came back sledless, and he's trying to figure out what happened. He doesn't know.
So we didn't tell him.
Apparently not. He's hypothesizing. Maybe he thinks,
what did we do with the salmon
maybe
car?
Maybe we like, didn't do.
Maybe we didn't make extinction.
Did we not do it? Did we not make an
maybe
extinction?
We didn't do extinction.
Do an extinction?
Maybe we didn't do extinction. Maybe. Oh, this is great. This is very interesting. Like,
there's no body.
There's no. The hand.
There's a hand.
The hand. But who's to say that that was us that even brought that? Maybe he had that.
It was mummified.
Interesting.
But yeah, this is like you come. Oh man,
we were sent on a mission. We're supposed to.
This is like it's like the mob hit, right? It's like go take out so and so. You take him to the docks. You know, you're just like, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
and never come back. So you don't have to do the kill. Then you go back and tell the boss, job's done.
Yeah.
We could have done that.
He's writing about like where's the sled? How did they come back with the sled? Did Asoyo teleport them back here? Like he's really frantically like nervous. Like why all this stuff, fun stuff happened without him?
All this fun stuff. Okay. Well, we do have a memory
he's such
though.
A loser.
So he was like,
somebody else.
I'll give you a little bit more because
looking
it might help.
For
the sled, like Citizen Kane.
Yeah, Citizen
I whisper,
Riddleson.
Rosebud.
Riddleson Kane.
Riddleson Kane.
Wow.
He's frustrated that you wouldn't tell him what you did at the Nameless Spires. And all of this
That's
sort of
so interesting. It implies a certain amount of
free will that we
had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or that Asoyo said, don't let Riddleson know. You have no memory of it. That memory has not resurfaced, but he's upset at it.
But we do have a memory of dragging the sled with something on it covered in a tarp.
At a time,
It could have been like a Wookiee prisoner trick, though. Could have been like, this is the dead Solomon car. And he's just under there like, I'm ready to murder. I don't know.
These notes go on and on and on. But at a certain point, it seems like you were all collectively dismissed by Asoyo.
Like our platoon or like all of Riddleson and his whole...
It's unclear. It seems like at least Riddleson and the group of you returned either via teleport or magic or maybe you left the sled behind.
We returned so fast we couldn't have been there and back.
He didn't understand that. He was jealous about it. And at a certain point, Asoyo dismissed all of you and you were told to go to the nearest Iodara and await your rewards. And you're reading this and you have no recollection of this. This all is like an out-of-body experience. But everything he writes, it seems like this definitely happened. But even he doesn't know what you were tasked with and was jealous about it.
Await your rewards.
Await your rewards. Maybe those are what the powers were. Maybe there were other rewards. But Asoyo chose you and
now,
gifted you.
I'm going to say something. And it's going to seem a little bit strange. But just stay with me for a second. I'm confused.
That doesn't seem strange at all.
Okay. I'm having a problem. I'm mixing the time beyond the gates versus the time after coming back from the gates. All of this stuff that we're reading is the missing moment.
That's what it appears to be. Yes, okay. This all happened during the missing moment.
When did we meet Riddleson? Like, I thought we met Riddleson after we came back from the gates.
You did.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, like, he dominated
us. Technically,
and then
it
took
seems
us on
like
some sort of expedition.
Well, here's the thing. Technically, it seems that you met Riddleson during the missing moment.
But then we met him again.
But that moment is not described or captured, right? Like, I see my brother. I walk through the gate. What's the first thing that happened to me?
it seems like you walked through and there was to ice skate.
Ice skate.
And a bunch
and
of gatewalkers rolled
bunch
through.
Of people.
Right. And Riddleston just started murdering them all. Maybe you were involved.
Oh, that thing when they were greeting them warmly.
Yeah,
and then
yeah. When the elves came
that
up.
Was, that yeah. was the us first thing.
First walking
that was your,
through.
That was the minute.
All right, so,
and we were immediately enthralled.
I originally felt that I thought that we came through into ice skate already enthralled as a group.
No, it appears.
Now I'm just putting it together.
Yeah, you know, could be wrong. I'm giving you what you know so far. That you walked through and you ended up at ice skate. We're part of this genocide here, and then you dragged some people up there, started getting involved in experiments, and then he continued with experiments while you went to the high ice, kidnapped a salmon car, and did something, and then magically returned, and then Asoyo dismissed you. You went back to the gate. You went away. You came back into the world, and then, you know, time passes. Everyone's talking about the missing moment. You receive a missive from Riddleston. At some point, Riddleston, in his obsession to learn about the missing moment, perhaps became more cognizant of what happened than you ever did. He returned here or talked about returning here, was planning to return here to continue doing things.
Well, he had the hand of the guest.
So he was meant to lose his memories the same way we did.
Yeah, he lost his memories, but his research and his intensity, and by stealing the minds of gatewalkers, he was able to recover memories that you didn't have access to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then at a certain point, he recruited you.
Right, he brings us in.
You know, warped your minds like that you're, okay, let's go out on the mission, and you lost all this time because he did stuff to you, you know, tried to extract things from you to either power the gate or give him the knowledge that he possessed.
Okay, all right, so...
Does that make a lot more sense?
It does, and it makes me think that we were not enthralled by Riddleston when we were killing these elves or doing this shit in the tower. Like, we were enthralled by Asoyo at that time.
Yeah.
Like,
you were chosen.
Chosen.
Right.
Gifted.
But they blame Riddleston.
I feel like
well,
there's
he seemed
levels
like a leader. Like, how did he become a leader if we all walked through at the same time?
Yeah. Right.
Was he here earlier? Was he like...
Did Asoyo put him in charge?
Like a middle
initially?
Manager?
Yeah.
But then he got and then, crazy, and then Asoyo was like, actually,
yeah, like
you
maybe
take a back seat.
If he had that penchant for evil, maybe it sparked something in Asoyo. Again, you don't even know what Asoyo is.
Yeah.
But he's like, you, do with your this.
I also wonder, we still don't know why the gates all lit up in the first place, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what made that happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was probably a Soyo's doing, but I mean...
Right, but like he's been, or it's been imprisoned.
Yeah.
For however many millennia.
Like, why now?
Why now was he able to
why
open the gates and start enthralling again?
And also, just still, like, why us? Like, why we, this specific group of people?
I think it would have been anyone who walked through. I think the gate showed you, like, exactly what would make you want to walk through it. And he's like, I just need bodies.
If you were weak-willed enough, you just walked through.
There's a lot of connections to dreams, desires, preying upon your hidden wants, needs, made you perhaps easy marks.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Sick. Right.
So that's what I learned.
Yep. And Buggles, you discover some information about Asoyo. It's very strange, and it doesn't really elucidate anything to you other than the way Edward talks about Asoyo. The stuff he writes feels more like a prayer to Asoyo than a theory about what Asoyo is. He praises him. He thanks him. It feels like at a certain point, his obsession with Asoyo grew to the point where Asoyo was the most important thing in his life. And he felt, like many cult leaders do, that the rewards he would gain from finding a way to release the Black Frost Whale from its prison below the Nameless Spires would be the greatest gift bestowed upon mankind. It's the typical Lovecraftian, like, if we just get Cthulhu to come here, Cthulhu's going to save me, and he's going to make me the king of the ashes.
It's like a Renfield for Asoyo.
Yeah, it's the same thing. He praised him. He became obsessed with him. Now, is it because Asoyo infected his mind so much? Or, you know, was he already leaning that way? I mean, probably a little bit of both, but he was obsessed with him. And it seems like you as his assistants at some point were helping to bring about the return of Asoyo unwittingly.
still a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't freed, how did he manipulate
this?
How did he do any of this?
And what does he need?
Is he partially freed just enough to get...
How did he get the initial power?
Yeah. DeSoyo dismissed you. Seems like you were no longer needed.
Right, so is he already, I keep saying he, it's just a default, but are they already freed? Right? Like,
bet you a Sakawachi.
Have you ever seen Gik Muk and DeSoyo in the same room?
Or that.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, too.
No Bard.
Right.
She's been lying about her name.
Hell of a cover.
Signs were all there all along.
this is still, I'm having that same, like, was it always Asoyo's plan to have us kill Riddleson, come back here, deal with the tower stuff, and keep going back to
Asoyo? Are we still being lured? Are we still being lured on
the same exact track?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
What do we do?
We have to keep going along with it until the moment we break from it. Basically, like, because the only way to get to it is to go to it and act like we're, being led forward. I mean, Ramius has been of this opinion ever since the conversation with Ogmanzorius.
Mm.
You need to free the...
The guest.
Not the guest.
The blessed one.
The blessed one. You need to free the blessed one, and it will get you to Asoyo faster. It's like, okay.
Also, Ogmanzorius fucking lied.
And Ogmanzorius, buffed us up big time. So it's kind of like we need to keep acting like we're on mission, right, until the last moment when we hopefully zig when they think we're going to zag. Like, that's how I'm assuming it's going
to
be right now.
Yeah, Arbenturius told you to go. You go that way. You'll be saved, and you almost were killed. So, very unreliable source.
But to paraphrase Cassian Andor, even if it is a trap, it changes nothing.
Changes nothing.
Star Trek.
That's right.
Nailed it. All right. Is there anything in here? This is another thing, a little needle in my mind that's been bothering me. Is there anything in these? So these notes all pre-exist the returning from the missing moment. So it seems like post-missing moment, Riddleson never returned here.
No, he wanted to get back here. His notes were like, did I leave the urn here?
We caught him right before he was going back.
When he was at the gate, he was like using those, what were they again? Fucking not crystals, but...
Moonstones,
thank you. Yeah, yeah. Using the moonstones infused with whatever to try and power the gateway so he could return.
Right. Okay.
And continue his research.
Right.
After Asoyo dismissed him, he was like, I gotta get back there.
Okay.
Do the notes. I think I left my keys.
So it teleported him away from here, without warning.
Yeah, it seems like you all went back to Ice Gate, and you stepped through and all went back to your worlds.
With no memory of what had happened.
No memory.
Now,
he looks at his pack and finds a mummified hand, starts piecing together, became obsessed with it, brought you people together.
I think we gave him a fucked up fake mummified hand.
That would be pretty cool.
I think we did that.
It would also be interesting if we did something like you're saying,
without even knowing
the will of Asoyo, and that's why we were dismissed. Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know if Asoyo can just kill you with the snap of a finger, but maybe they were like, oh, you are not worthy to serve me or something.
Or we had a burst of freedom that we were able to...
Or like when you're charmed and they have you do something that is so against your nature that you get a save out of it, maybe.
Right.
Something like that. So these, we found post missing moment notes in his house, in his hidden rooms, that spoke of the Queen of Skywatch. And
Queen Aquendia.
Queen Aquendia. Is there anything about Queen Aquendia in any of these notes? Was she a gatewalker? Was she here at all?
You don't see anything about that. And if you remember the notes...
said he admired her.
He admired her.
For what she became.
What she became.
But this was all post-missing moment, it seems. Mm-hmm. There's no mention of her during the missing moment.
No, you don't see anything about that. Was she a gatewalker?
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep.
She was on a list of gatewalkers, right? Wasn't she?
I don't remember. Is there mention by name of other gatewalkers in these logs mm-hmm. that are not people we've met before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to keep those and like find these people.
Yeah.
Enthrall them and then bring them back. No.
kill them.
Kill them all. Find them all and kill them.
Yeah.
Gatewalkers part two. Reckoning.
I think, are we going to... did we find what we're going to find here?
Yeah, there's some other rooms you can search, and I'm not going to have you roll perception checks. I will just tell you there are some items in some of these rooms. Don't forget, you can meditate.
I'm good. Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Get some sort of...
I'm psyched to get to meditate.
Blessing. Yeah, let's meditate. But in terms of one of these alcoves, you find... two scrolls and a scrimshaw scroll tube.
Nice.
Two scrolls.
Love a good scroll.
A strand of magical beads.
Cool. Bees?
Strands of magical bees. I don't even know what some of these things are. A magical jar. And
yeah. Magic jar.
Yeah, a magic jar.
With the soul of a soil!
It was funny. That was one of Drew's big spells, was magic jar.
Magic jar, yeah.
Use that all the time.
And two, like, star talismans.
Huh. What is that?
usually a consumable of some kind that does some dope shit one time only.
What were the scrolls of? Scrolls of?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Oh, nice try, do a check.
Love it.
Classic.
What were those? And what level?
Those
what was the level?
I'm sorry, magic, you said magic what the missile? Scrolls were, but I didn't write it down. What are they?
Let's write that down real quick so we don't
classic,
have to worry about it
like,
later.
Classic, like, cop interrogation trick.
And those scrolls.
And what time was that again?
Oh. And those were what?
Interesting. I'm not
you know
seeing,
you fucked up, right?
I'm not seeing Star Talisman on a quick lookup, so I don't know if that's a name.
Shouldn't be Googling it.
I know I shouldn't, but... all right. Identify magic on the scrolls. Can I do religion? Are they divine by any chance?
Oh, they are.
They are?
Yay! Oh. I love a good divine scroll! 36.
Oh, oh, baby. He knows.
You unfurl this scrimshaw tube and find two scrolls of raised dead.
Oh, baby! Oh. You'll be all right, Sid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to live forever.
Still a few F's left.
Yeah.
Guys, if I die, don't bring me back.
Oh. Those are super scrolls.
So that was in the two.
Wow.
Okay, there's two more scrolls.
Can I do an arcana on the, unless that counts for everything, but on magic jar or the star?
Can I just say the remastered, I'm sure the original was like this, but no. It's so cool.
The raised dead is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, the creature must have died within the last 3 days. The body has to be present. And then this line is great. If Pharasma has decided that the creature's time has come at the GM's discretion, or if the creature doesn't wish to return to life, the spell automatically fails, but the cost isn't consumed in the casting. Because you need the gemstone as well, I believe, unless that's burnt into the scroll.
I think in the scroll, you
don't need that. Yeah.
It comes with a little packet of gems stapled to it that you can use.
It's just, it goes on.
Typically you
gemstones included.
I think typically you use those... components in the creation of the scroll.
Yeah.
And they're used up and then fused into the scroll.
I have to keep reading because a lot of people who don't know Raised Dead will get a kick out of this. If the spell is successful, the creature returns to life with one hit point, no spells prepared or spell slots available, no points in any pools or any other daily resources, and still with any long-term debilitations of the old body. The time spent in the boneyard leaves the target temporarily debilitated, making it clumsy too, drained too, and enfeebled too for 1 week. These conditions can't be removed or reduced by any means until the week has passed. This is the best part. The creature is also permanently changed by the time in the afterlife, such as a slight personality shift, a streak of white in the hair, or a strange new birthmark.
Oh, I love that. So cool. Actually, I changed my mind.
Does it say
back.
What rank it is?
It's the basic, so 13th level or lower. You need heightened ones to raise higher level characters.
Yeah.
This is quite sick. Very cool.
What are the other ones?
Yeah, does that carry over to the other magical items?
Yeah, fuck it. Okay. The jar is something known as a rhyme jar, R-I-M-E.
Magical reagents slosh inside this rime-frosted pottery jar the size of a human head. Despite appearing to be rimed in hoarfrost, the jar is warm to the touch. Ilvarani wizards create rime jars to sustain themselves during the coldest winter nights. So maybe Ilkhani is telling you about this. Oh, yes. Yeah. The Ilvarani wizards would create these dumb jars.
you drink it?
It's a three-action. You can interact with it to activate. If you have the fatigue condition caused by exposure to environmental cold, it removes the condition. For 8 hours after applying the rime, you treat extreme cold as severe cold, which, you know, going forward in your journey across the high ice, you will be facing extreme cold. So that's important.
That's awesome.
And the stars, the rhyme jar is a Gatewalker's exclusive thing, and these stars are as well. They're called Stars of Cynosure, Cynosure. Found throughout Galarian, these star-shaped talismans of whalebone scrimshaw are carved by Erutaki from the Crown of the World.
Oh, Erutaki, that's Sakawachi's clan.
They are popular with adherents to the cult of Desna, who believe the talismans protect their dreams. When you activate this talisman, you get a +2 status bonus to saves against enchantment magic with the mental trait for 1 minute. On the triggering save, if the outcome of the roll is a failure, you get a success instead, or a crit failure becomes a failure. And you have two of those talismans. Again, dreams.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, my Stars of Sinisher. I was wondering if those were still around. Could I? I used to wear them on my wrists.
Yeah, but are you going to use them?
Come with us?
I mean, they are mine. One was my sister's. But I guess you can have them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have to go a really Ramius far while.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I find my rhyme jar?
I believe this is our rhyme jar now.
It's very cold.
This is...
Oh, and there's the beads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good treasure dump here. A strand of greater holy prayer beads.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's greater for holy, you.
Oh, yeah, prayer beads. They increase healing, right?
Great. So, cast a effect. Cast blessed or heal each once per day. For greater, you recover 1d4 hit points instead of one hit point when casting divine spells from your spell slots. Change the beads list of spells to the fourth level version of bless, divine wrath, heal, neutralize poison, and remove disease. You can cast each of these once per day. It's great.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is a 1,400 gold piece item.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Oh, greater holy prayer beads.
Greater holy
prayer beads, yeah.
Can I have one of the star whale ribs then, if you're going to take the beads?
Please, take my sister's.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, you remind me.
So, just a little...
She keep doing that with her eye.
Oh my god, this is such a huge dump. That's amazing.
Please don't.
Item dump.
What a big dump.
What a dump.
That's just Bifrost.
Stinky dump.
Guys, I hate to tell you. Looks like a minor detail on the Star of Cynosure. You can't use it unless you're a master of will saves. Might just be two of us.
No, I'm in. Fuck.
I have very strong will. Perhaps I can give it a whirl.
Sister
and I were very willful.
Willful. Can I see that, Zephyr?
Well, can I have one of the scrolls then?
Oh,
can you cast?
Can I have some?
What are you going
to
do with
it? It's a scroll.
I'm going
it's
to use it to
dead.
Raise
it's a scroll.
You.
You're never going to use it.
You can't even read.
I can read.
The elf says it.
Here, you know what?
I guess
you know
he doesn't like her anymore.
You can't read.
I give
can't
her.
You're anything like my sister. You're illiterate.
You flirt really weirdly.
I hold out the rhyme jar and I say, look, it looks cold, but touch it. Kind of nice and warm. Here, take that. And I take the star.
Huh, so cool.
Now she's playing Asta again.
I miss Asta so much.
That to her is a gift.
And she hands the other star to Remus. I guess we'll put them on, yeah? Just wear them.
What? The star? No, the star has to be infused into your armor.
Oh.
It becomes like a buff to your armor, and then it's used once, and it breaks off.
Whoa. Does anyone have craft?
No wonder
craft
it never worked for me. I wore them around my wrist.
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll look it up, but I think magically you can just infuse it into your armor, I think. I don't think you have to craft it, but I don't know.
It's cool, though.
We'll look it up.
Would you like to meditate before you leave forever?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
we would.
Would you lead us in the meditation? We don't really know what to do.
Yes,
I know how to meditate.
I assume you are not.
Oh.
Yeah, I meditate all the time.
You are not followers of Findelard Lara.
assume.
No. Unless, Ramis, do you know about Findelad, Lara?
Yeah.
Do you meditate to her?
I never have before, but you're in her holy house. Try it.
Will you guys lead it then? Because I've never done any meditation of any sort.
That's hard to believe. Okay, yes, come this way. And we'll go into the meditation chamber. Ramius will try to attempt to lead a meditation, which really just requires prayer, focus, silence, shutting out all of the, you know, your shallow and pathetic desires for fame, that kind of garbage. Get rid of that.
What's he saying? He says, shh.
Yeah.
What time do you think we're leaving?
Oh, my God. Like, I feel like I'm with my actual kids.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Ramius is just like...
I feel like my right arm's getting numb.
It's been less than a minute.
Yeah, it's been like less than a minute. How much longer?
Can I wear a swimsuit instead of underwear?
Oh, my God. All right.
Technically, you can have breakfast for dinner, and it's still dinner.
Stop touching me.
Technically, you can have breakfast for dinner, and it's still dinner.
You're touching me.
All right.
I'm not
It takes an hour of uninterrupted meditation.
So it never happens.
To receive any boon. Right. This takes a long time.
We meditate.
Okay.
You sit in deep meditation for some time, and it's almost as if you can feel that presence of Asoyo slowly start to fade, and perhaps the presence of Findelad Lara returning. Obviously, there's a lot of cleansing that needs to be done here. Ilkhani needs to clean off the black frost and sanctify this place. But at some point during this introspective meditation, you feel Findelad Lara bless you with a boon.
Love a boon.
You get to choose between one of five different
boons.
Sweet. Love a boon. boon me. What are they?
Once this boon is chosen, you cannot receive another boon for 24 hours. You can gain insight into the mysteries of the Twilight Speakers, capital T, capital S. This would unlock the Twilight Speaker archetype. You can feel free to look that up.
Okay. I was going to say, have we ever heard of this?
No, the Twilight Speakers. You can purge afflictions of the mind. If you have the stupefied condition, it is reduced by two. I think you are stupefied one.
But that will go away when I wake up the next day, right?
No,
stupefied. Only Buggle stupefied.
But you guys shouldn't.
Right?
You guys shouldn't use it for that.
It goes away after two rounds.
Right, whereas regular stupefied lasts until it's removed.
Unless it says otherwise.
Oh.
So, but I can treat that condition. Like, okay. We just forgot that in the whole healing thing.
Yeah.
I can treat that.
There's another one. The character becomes invigorated, removing the effects of fatigue and regaining hit points as if they had rested for 8 hours. You know, I'm assuming you're going to rest anyway, so... The character bolsters their mind against the influence of Asoyo for the remainder of this adventure. They get a +2 status bonus on all saving of throws against the effect of anything dream or nightmare related.
Oh, that yes, one. Please.
I'll take one of those.
And the last option is you enter a trance-like state during which you can send a message to the dreams of another person.
Oh, that's
forever?
Cool.
As if you've cast dream message, yeah.
You should send a dream message to your brother.
Yes.
Oh my.
Shaka.
You'll have to do that instead of taking the Twilight Speaker archetype or that +2 permanent bone.
Well, the archetype doesn't seem to be remastered.
That's okay. For the effects of this, we can home remaster it if need be.
But yeah, I think I want to take the resistance to Asoyo's mind bullshit.
That sounds good.
I'm nervous that, like, when we do a boss fight or the boss fight, that will be a thing where, you know, he thralls. So I don't want to be thralled. I want to resist it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's smart. I think I'm going to take the dream message one just because, like, that's a great idea that I didn't think of. Amazing idea. But also, like,
I always think it's so cool to be able to send a message over, like, yeah. It, like, I could literally send a message to, like, the elves of Castrovel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so cool, and it's not tied down to mere time distances of the material plane. Yeah. I think one of us has to take it, and so I'm happy to do it. I also feel like I'm of sound mind. I can handle Soyo now.
What was the last boon?
That was the last
dream. Boon. That, the dream one, okay.
Yeah, Twilight Speaker.
It's very diplomatic.
Yes. Yeah.
You get feats, you know, once you take the dedication, there's other stuff you can have access to that's interesting, but it's like all diplomacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have pretty high diplomacy. I wonder if this would be good for me, but I also wonder, is this even useful?
But it lets you like replace diplomacy with your society skill, I guess.
For example, disarming smile as a reaction. An enemy ceases their attack on a critical success, or they pause their attack. Like, some of the stuff is useful.
Yeah, disarming smile is interesting. But this is very similar to our prophecy one, the Sky Watch.
Sky Sage.
Sky Sage.
Dedication.
Like, I would have to take the dedication, and I can't take any feats until we then have access to feats.
And it would replace any other feat.
A class feat.
Yeah.
Hard class feat.
So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it's really worth it for me.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe
Do you want to send a message to someone,
too? I mean,
you
could also look at, you could also look ahead at some of your bard feats. I mean, haven't some of your bard feats been pretty disappointing? I mean, the Dirge of Doom was a bard feat, and that's pretty dope. But.
Yeah. Yeah, it all depends.
I mean, thought I remembered you reading some of them and be like, these all suck.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, sometimes they actually do.
Sometimes they do.
You can look at like 7th level or, you know, 9th, whatever it is, the even levels, the 6th level or 8th level class feat and be like, I'm kind of disappointed. And you know what I mean? That happens.
Yeah, I might look. I might do a little look-see. If not, I'm going to pick the +2 to stuff.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, also, I mean, if we're going to metagame, which is not your jam.
I don't love to metagame. What were you going to say, though?
I don't think we have a whole lot of diplomacy left in this adventure.
Well, that's what I'm also thinking about.
If you want a metagame, I think we're pretty much on a course here. Now, the one diplomacy that comes to mind from a meta sense is, like, if we meet Sakuachi again, and he doesn't trust us, and he doesn't whatever, maybe.
Well, Skid was saying also, it's like you replace your diplomacy with society. And I don't have any society. I have diplomacy already. So I'm like, I'll just do diplomacy
rolls.
Well,
this gives you society. That's what it does. It, like, it automatically gives you, just taking the dedication.
It would.
Would give you the society.
And you would be,
but you're not really getting the full benefit from it anyway, because I think your diplomacy would still be higher
already
than
high.
Society.
I have like a +14 diplomacy.
Yeah. So this would automatically, I think just taking the dedication. Yeah. Taking the dedication would automatically make you a master in society because you're 9th level, but you would like you're getting your buff on that from intelligence, not right. from charisma. And so
my intelligence is
maybe from a mechanic standpoint it isn't that much of an upgrade.
I mean, it might be worthwhile just to get that master in society, just
for some things that can only a master in society could do X, Y, or Z. But
let me think about it. I'm gonna look at my bard feats for the future and think about it.
Yeah,
what is Buggles gonna take?
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, role-playing wise, he might be tempted to, like, take the dream message stuff so he can contact his fellow goblins back in Arcadia.
Yeah,
because that's like, otherwise he has no idea how to do that right now. So even though mechanically I don't think that would help us at all,
would
me,
the Kula Khan try to override him in what to take?
Maybe the Kula Khan wanting revenge against the oppressors might want him to take that too, or the saves. I'm not sure. I don't know. Think about it as well.
I want to ask you a question, player to player. You said something in a couple episodes ago in character where you didn't want us to talk to you as if you were two people.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how that, like, how you want us to play that as other players. Like, should we stop sort of, like, are you trying to create a Buggles that is a fusion of the two personalities that is with
I think character? That was something you said in the moment. So, yeah, that might be the impression that you're getting, is that there's these two entities.
He is Kulakon.
That's starting to happen. That seems what it's starting to happen.
Yeah, so that's why I feel like Buggles might have more control than we think.
Right.
Because he seemed so sharp in that moment, kind of intimidating.
Right.
To me, it seems like you were frustrated. Like, oh, stop referring to me like I'm two people. Like, is she like a frustrating thing?
Maybe, but the way that he said it was like the cool guy.
Yeah.
You know, like it was Buggles, but you knew he was like intimidating, right? He wasn't like, please stop. Guys. I think it's a really interesting character choice as we come close to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he's getting control and he actually is the prophesied savior of the goblin people.
Right. Somehow this is happening.
So are you guys going to stay here for a while? Or?
Yes. We must rest many days.
Where are you going, Gik?
Thought we were going to go to the crown of the world.
Careful on that icy bridge.
What?
Oh. And a strong wind picks up.
And then I land right back where it picked me up. I'm like, that was terrifying.
What are
and
the
I
odds?
Quickly come back inside.
You really should be careful out there.
Are we moving on? I thought we were going. Ramius, we're staying?
I want a boon, too.
Are you coming with us?
Did I forget about Hubert? Did he definitely not come? I thought he came.
I was just thinking that about 20 minutes ago.
I don't think he came.
I'll bring this up later. Too.
Wait, did he come?
He said,
he's got his little goggles on and everything.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to go right at the last moment. And I think we convinced him to go. I think he's been here.
He was there when we went through the gate and saw all the dead people. He was being really weird about it.
That's right, right.
He's here.
He's here. He's here. I think he's downstairs when we first walked in.
What boon does he take?
He probably was like, let's sit right here.
Let's do a quick rewind and see what he says in
our cut. We just cut to here, but he wakes up.
Oh, no, my friends.
And he walks over to these crumpled bodies of the elves.
Oh, my God.
And he just starts cradling. It's like, oh, no, Brother Ramius. I hardly knew
he's
you.
He's downstairs. Oh, my God.
We hear him
and
echo.
He's like, no, no.
Hubert. Hubert.
Oh, I can still hear their voices.
Hubert, up here.
In my head. Oh, I will look up to the heavens.
Hubert.
And praise your names.
Hubert, we're alive.
I can still hear her stupid, stupid voice. Her amelodic voice. Still haunts me.
Hubert.
Amelodic voice.
The way it whistles so off key through this temple.
Off-key whistling.
Hates you even in death.
I scoop up a snowball and I just fucking lob it at
all the ones
head.
That I wish. Oh, Gik. Oi, what's going on there?
We're all up here.
Well, everyone, Brother Ramius, Zephyr, and Buggles, and still you.
There you are.
Oh, Ramius, Brother Ramius.
Sticks his head out the
I
window.
Thought I was just cradling your arm.
Quick, upstairs.
I fainted during this, and you just you moved on without me to keep me safe.
We were just about to, yes. We wanted to make sure we cleared the tower, so to speak, before we had you come up here.
I feel refreshed from that fainting. Let me come. Don't. He sees us and says, oh, who's your new friend?
Oh, my name is Ilkhani. Your friends saved me from a horrible fate.
Oh, very good. Very good. So are you part of the crew now? Is he coming with us?
Yes, I believe he is.
No, I'm not.
He said specifically he was not going to.
Sure you'd like to join us.
No, I don't even have a shirt.
He's wearing
rags.
I was
nothing but tentacles moments ago. I'm going to stay here and
no shoes
and rebuild the temple, and this could take weeks. Why don't you sleep on it? And perhaps going on a mission of certain death is what you need. No, I don't. I don't want to be a part of that. I feel like my journey is to do this and perhaps one day repopulate my people.
Well, you're an endling. I learned that word recently. Endling.
What did you call me?
An endling. It's the last of an extinct species.
Oi. Guess that makes me an endling as well.
Actually,
perhaps I need to repopulate. Like this guy. This fellow over here.
Are you flirting with him?
No, I don't really know what I'm doing. I've been asleep for two episodes.
But I'm glad to be back. Are we going out this window here? Whoa! He gets blown away and lands back on the bridge. Hey, quite a wind out
there.
Come back,
Isaac. Quite a wind out there, yes. Yeah, it is. It's tricky. I think. Well, we're gonna rest. Definitely gonna rest. 8 hours, a new day. Because I'm gonna fully prepare spells and stuff like that before we set out.
Okay, so you bed down, try to get comfortable. Maybe you set up the yurt. I don't know. You tell me.
Actually, we should. That's
at least practice.
Take it for a spin.
Yeah.
Oh, this is quite nice.
Like before a big camping trip, you set up the tent in your own backyard. Yeah, just like
make sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go inside. It's just way larger on the inside than is the outside. It's got this beautiful fireplace. Food magically appears.
Food in there.
That's to so provide awesome. You with sustenance. You're eating of it, and we pan out and we just see a shitty old dirty tent right there amongst Edward's research supplies, and we keep panning outwards and to see this bridge, and then we just see the high ice, just a wide open expanse of white, and we'll see you next week.
This is gonna be awesome.
I was gonna say awful.
Well, a bit of both. Awful. I mean, yeah, big, large, barren landscape to set off.
Yeah, expedition.
Polar expedition.
Oh. Yes.
Polar Express.
With Hubert. With you.
Oh, no.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself and see what everybody's talking about when you join the Niche today.
Nothing is as it seems in liminal London. Hidden amongst everyday people are werewolves.
You'll be the werewolf then?
Yeah. I'm Mags.
Wizards.
Montgomery Archibald Barker at your bloody service.
And those cursed by the Fey Monarchs of the city.
Declan Buchanan, PI. He has quite a large pair of antlers growing out of his forehead.
Join the unlikely misfits of liminal London as they work to take down the powers that claim to rule the city.
I think the Queen doesn't like you very much.
With incredible guest players like Johnny Chiodini.
You say there's Sludge?
Yeah, Sludge. Yeah, I'm the Sludge Boy.
Fucking love Sludge Boy.
No, again, I'm not that Sludge Boy.
Grant Howitt.
Isaac Newton didn't study in fucking Putney, did he?
Who's Isaac?
Oh my God.
And Sharmini Bundell.
There's a magic community.
There is.
Yay, I'm in a magic community.
Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts to find this mysteriously magical actual play series.
American history is full of infamous tales that continue to captivate audiences decades or even hundreds of years after they happened. On the Infamous America podcast, you'll hear the true stories of the Salem witch trials and the escape attempts from Alcatraz, of bank robbers like John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd, of killers like Lizzie Borden and Charles Starkweather, of mysteries like the Black Dahlia and D.B. Cooper, and of events that inspired movies like Goodfellas, Killers of the Flower Moon, Zodiac, 8 Men Out, and many more. I'm Chris Wimmer. Join me as we crisscross the country from the Miami drug wars and Dixie Mafia in the South, to mobsters in Chicago and New York, to arsonists, kidnappers, and killers in California, to unsolved mysteries in the heartland and in remote corners of Alaska. Every episode features narrative writing and cinematic music, and there are hundreds of episodes available to binge. Find Infamous America wherever you get your podcasts.